Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. We had a good time this morning in the first session because I let the class define siege, what they thought siege was, and we came up with a good definition. It means overthrow, the overthrow. And then I asked them, well, when you think in biblical terms, where do your mind go to first of all? You know, some people said David, you know, in conquering Goliath. Some people said, you know, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 when, you know, Jehoshaphat and them went out and was gathering all the spoil. And then another gentleman said, you know, the walls of Jericho. And that's where we're going, to the walls of Jericho, okay? In the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. The 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. I want to give you just a few principles that I believe will sharpen your life, will enhance your life, will bless your life, because we want to stop your faith from sticking and just stroke it a little bit, all right? Because I believe some of you are right now, you know, need a stroke, need your faith stroked. Because the devil challenges you every day to diminish your faith. And what he challenges you with, one of the weapons that the enemy used. You know, I heard a story, and it talked about that somebody was doing an interview with the devil and said, "Miss Devil, you know, what is your greatest weapon that you would use on people, you know, that you know, you always have success?" And at that time, he says, "You know, of course, I'll use the weapon of discouragement, because if I can get them discouraged, then when there's no courage, what is there?
Fear.
Fear, you know." So he was connecting, you know, discouragement with fear. And fear is the weapon that he uses to attack your faith. Because when there's no faith, there's fear. Are y'all with me? And many of us, you know, we fear this, we fear that, we fear the other. We fear the future. We fear what can happen in the future. We fear what might happen in the future when it's not happening. You know, rather than taking faith, knowing that God holds our future in his hand. And we hold the hand of the one that holds our future. Amen. So I want to take you to the 6th chapter of Joshua. And as you're getting there, I want to just mention to you, on last week, we told you that Moses at the Red Sea, because in Hebrews 11 chapter, it says that, "And the children of Israel," it says, "by faith, the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea as on dry ground. The Egyptians assaying to do so drowned." Now, the reason the Egyptians drowned, because they had a different motive of going through the Red Sea. It says the Israelites went through the Red Sea by faith. It took faith for them to go through the Red Sea, because, you know, God set it all up. God changed their directions in which they were going. And it says by faith they went through the Red Sea, meaning that they didn't want. You got to get so sick and tired of where you've been and what you've been going through that you don't want to go back. Going back is not an option. High five somebody and say, "Going back is not an option." You don't want to go back into bondage. You don't want to go back into, you know, slavery. You don't want to go back into Egypt. That is totally not an option. Then on both sides, you know, there's mountains, and you can't climb those mountains with your children and with all your possessions. So I can't go to the right. I can't go to the left, and I don't want to. I am not going back.
So the only place to go is forward. And that was the word of the Lord. God told Moses, tell you, fear not, stand still. All right. Attacking the thing that attacked your faith, which was fear. Then he says, see the salvation of the Lord. Taking your eyes off of what you were looking at to see the deliverance of God. What you were looking at were the Egyptians. You got became afraid. Then he says, go forward. Go forward. Well, where am I going forward to? All there is a sea there, and it's deep. The waves are raging. The wind's blowing. Now, to take that step forward, it's going to take some faith. Because I would rather go forward into a raging sea and deep and by the word of God than to go back. Amen. I'd rather go forward. But, you know, if I obey God's word and go forward, something, you know, that I can't even imagine, that I can't even conceive is going to happen. That when I start going forward, man, the sea start moving out the way. The waters start parting. And the ground is not mushy, but it's dry. So all that I have is not going to bog down in the sea. It's dry. And there's not going to be no obstacles wherein my children or myself is going to stump our feet. For the Bible says in the book of Psalms 91 that He'll give his angels to hold us up lest we dash our feet against a stone. So God has given us a clear pathway through the sea because by faith, our faith ascended, his miracle descended. I am totally convinced that miracles will descend upon our lives when our faith ascends from the earth. I'm totally convinced that the miracle powers of God is connected with our faith. That if we don't have no faith for the powers of God to show up, then the powers of God won't show up. But if we have faith that we need a miracle from God and our faith can ascend, then the miracle will descend. There was two boys on four, that had a brother who couldn't walk. He was paralyzed on the bed of affliction. And the Bible says they heard that Jesus was in this house preaching. And they couldn't get inside because, I mean, the crowd was backed up to the door. So they invented another way. They got on top of the roof and tore the roof off. And start letting down their friend in the midst of where Jesus was. Now watch what happens here. Watch our faith. Watch how faith works. Jesus is preaching and ministering to these people, but when faith steps in, it stops him from what he's doing. It's not the first time. He stops preaching, and he looks at that gentleman on that cart, on that bed, and he looks at them gentlemen up on the roof, and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, the people that he's ministering to, they're thinking, we'll give this man the right to forgive sins. And he discerns it. And he says, well, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. Either way, his faith, their faith, had stopped Jesus and caused a miracle to happen. And he took up his bed and he went on home. He left everybody else in church because he got just what he wanted from the Lord. Let me show you how faith works. There was a girl that had been bleeding for, 18 years. Was it 18 years? 18 years. 12 years. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. She got an issue of blood. 12 years. You know, women, you know, it's like going on your cycle for 12 years and never stopping. Just continual. And now, in biblical days, during that time, they had some strenuous laws that if you went on your menstrual cycle and you were bleeding, that you couldn't go certain places, you couldn't touch certain things because everything you touched was unclean, because you was losing life. The life of all flesh is in the blood. And the Bible says that, you know, can you imagine that, that the bed she lay on was unclean? She'd go in the room and sit on the recliner. It was unclean. You know, her husband couldn't touch it because he would become unclean. She couldn't cook the meals because they would become unclean. This was under the law. Okay. Thank God that Jesus did away with the law. Amen. By fulfilling it. So the Bible says, she couldn't keep living her life like that. So she heard Jesus was coming by and she made a move. She made a move. See, this is what faith does. Faith will make you make a move. It will make you become adventurous. See, last week I told you about, you know, three kinds of faith. A faith that, you know, a faith that receives, a faith that reckons, and a faith that risks. Uh-huh. She risked everything because what she wanted to do was touch Jesus. Now, she knew the law that whoever she touched would become unclean. But she thought, I ain't worried about him becoming unclean. I'm worried about me being healed. And I believe if I can just touch, I don't even have to touch him. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So Jesus passing by, the Bible says she had the press. And when she touched the hem of his garment, he stopped. See, this is one of the second occasions that it stopped him. Because she had faith to touch him. He stopped where he was going. He stopped what he was doing. And he asked the question, who touched me? The disciples thought he was crazy because everybody was touching him. Right. Huh? The Bible says that they were throning him, meaning that they were touching him. I just want to touch him as he passed by. But one touch stopped him and he says, who touched me? And he turns around and there's this little lady. And he says, daughter, your faith have made you whole. Your faith. See, everybody was touching him, but everybody didn't want nothing. Huh? You ever have people like that? You know, they hold you up, but they don't really want nothing. But this girl wanted something. And when she touched him, he says, your faith have made you whole. See, when her faith. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread, it's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.
Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion, that is the church, and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Bible says that, you know, Jesus was on his way, walking, doing what he do best, you know, doing what he do. And there was a little bitty short man that couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead of everybody and climbed up into a tree because he said he wanted to see Jesus when he passed by. Jesus kept on walking and Jesus stopped right where he was. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down because today I must be at your house. See, faith will stop Jesus and cause him to stop by your house. And then when he got to Zacchaeus' house, Jesus says, today salvation has come to your house. Zacchaeus stood up and Zacchaeus says, listen, you know, if I've taken anything unfairly from anybody, I'm going to restore it 50%. I'm going to give you 50% of it back. I ain't giving it all back, but I'm going to give 50% of it back. And he says, and I'm going to give all my goods. He said, I'm going to give 80% of all my goods to the poor. And that's when Jesus said, man, you done got saved today. Something that happened to you. What? His faith touched Jesus, and Jesus in turn touched him back. So faith is a powerful thing. And all of us have some because it says that he's given a measure unto all of us. But how do we use it when we go forward? I'm going to give you just a few details here that would help you, you know, the rest of your life, that you got to do it his way. If we want those results, if we want the results of the Israelites, we want the results of that lady, we want the results of Zacchaeus, we want the results of those men, then there's a way that we've got to do it. Okay? So, here in Joshua chapter number 6, verse 1, it says this here. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now, why would Jericho be shut up? Because let me tell you what you got. Let me tell you what the children of Israel are. They've been in slavery for centuries. Actually, 4 centuries plus they've been in slavery. And then they've been wandering in a wilderness for 40 years. And now a whole city is shut up because of them. Now, I took the first class back to chapter number 2 of Joshua. Where did it begin? At verse 7, 6 or 7? Go back there for me. Joshua, watch this here. Now, Moses sends spies. Moses sends spies to spy out Jericho. I believe all of us have a Jericho right now that we're trying to conquer in our life. We have a Jericho that we're dealing with. That God has promised us the promised land, but Jericho is the first step in acquiring the promises of God. So we're going to learn some lessons from the first step and how to get the rest of the promises. Okay. All right. So let's see what happens here with Jericho. In chapter number 2, verse 6, it says, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Now, this is talking about Rahab. Rahab is a promiscuous woman. Okay, she's a harlot. She's a prostitute, streetwalker, you know, a night stalker, whatever you want to call her. She's that kind of woman. All right. She's loose. Okay. And now, Rahab actually have a house on the wall of the city. That was her house. That was her
That's where she did her business, okay, at that house. When Moses sent the spies there, she hides them out in her house and then actually puts them on top of her roof. So that the king and those men of the city, the government officials, won't know that they're there. Now, watch what this woman tells these spies. Now, I made this statement, and let me make it in this session also. Wherever you're going, you need to spy it out first. If you're going somewhere, look it out, spy it out, to make sure that that's what you want. But before Israel went into the promised land, God told Moses to send 12 spies over there. Before they go into Jericho to take Jericho, Moses sent 2 spies. I mean, look it out, you know, check it out, make sure that's what you want, okay? So, in verse 7 it says, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Now, verse 8 says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And verse 9 it says, and she said unto them, listen to what Rahab, the harlot, is going to say unto these men. She says, number one, I know that the Lord had given you the land. She says, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Look at the report that God sends before Israel. Israel at this time is in enemy's territory. They've crossed the Jordan, and now they're in the enemy's territory. And God tells them, Jericho is the first city that I'm going to give you. Now, look at this report. Look how God fights. When the spies get over there, Rahab, speaking for the city, says, God has given you the land. Isn't that a big encouragement? You know, isn't that a stroke of faith? Because right now, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how God's going to do it. You don't know when God's going to do it. And you don't know actually why God's going to do it. Because, you know, he just killed all our parents in the wilderness because of their murmuring, their complaining. But now this woman says, I know God's given it to you. Now, look at verse 10. It says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water. Here's the report God sends before you. And I love this here. And God does it with all of us. God never focuses on your weaknesses. God never talks about, you know, I remember when you failed. I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. God always remember. He always speaks to encourage you. You know, the 17th chapter of St. John is actually the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus prayed and said, Father, I thank you for those that you've given me. You know, I've lost none of them except one, you know, who was a devil. He goes on to say he didn't bring up Peter's cussing. He didn't bring up, you know, Thomas doubting. He didn't bring up James and John's beckoning for position. He says, make them one as me and you are one. For I've loved them even as you've loved me. You know, that's all Jesus was saying. So Jesus never points out your weaknesses and never points out your fault. We do that. We point out each other's weaknesses. That's why Jesus gave the statement and says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? By the love you have one. Now, that's strong. It's strong because, you know, people are going to identify you because of how you treat one another. And say, you must be a disciple of the Lord because I can tell you love the love that you have, you know, for humanity, the love you have for mankind. I went to work we were doing a job in Gulfport this week. And when I got there, one of my bricklayers couldn't wait to run up to me and says, I met one of your members. You know, I met one of your members. Now, one thing is funny that they would identify that member with me. You know, I met with you and I was bracing because I wanted to hear what he was going to say. Yeah. And here what they said. They said, man, your members love you. Your members love you. You know, I was in, I think he was in a restaurant and said, they prayed for me. They prayed for me, you know, and told me they love me. They prayed for me. That's all he talked about all week long. Carl, keep up the good work. They say he was a big guy and he told me how much they love you and told me how much they love me and man, they laid hands on me right in there and prayed for me. I couldn't shut him up all week. That's all he talked about. Every day I got out there, you know, man, they prayed for me. They prayed for me. I'm telling you, when you do the work of the Lord, it leaves an impression on people's lives. Now, can I say something? Can I divert and say something right here? You never know which bricklayer that was. That was the one that was on crack for 20-something years. He was on crack for 20-something years, he gives recognition to the Lord that the Lord bought him off. He said, I just didn't stop doing it. He says, I quit. He says, and when I quit, I quit. He says, you couldn't give me $1 million to smoke a cigarette. He says, that's how much I don't want to go back into that stuff. And it is something that somebody come along and pray for him, lay hands on him and pray for him. So back to the story. She says, this is what God has done. God, she says, we heard, this is the report God sent out before you, that he dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you. And when you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, watch y'all, that on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Look at verse 11. She says, and as soon as we had heard these things, two things happened. Our hearts melted. Our hearts melt. And the second thing is, she says, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. And then she starts praising God. Here's this harlot, this prostitute praising God. She says, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She took a little time out to give God some praise. But here's what I want to show. Put that back up there. It says, back 11. It says, look how God deals with the city of Jericho. Two things he caused to happen to the people. Their hearts melt. And number two, neither did there remain what?
Need more courage.
If there's no courage, what is there?
Fear.
If there's no courage, what is there?
Fear.
Back to this interview with the devil. The devil says in the interview that one of my greatest weapons against the believers is discouragement. Because if I discourage them, that means fear sets in. I don't believe it's a weapon of the devil. I believe it's a weapon of God. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And God is going to use one of his weapons. Amen. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread. It's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. I'm not forgotten.
Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion, that is the church, and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls.
Amen. To pull down the stronghold of Jericho. And what weapon do we use? Discouragement. He takes the courage out of the people of Jericho. So now there's nothing but fear. So go back to Joshua 6, verse 1. And how do you know, Pastor, there's nothing but fear? Because Joshua 6, verse 1 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Why? Because they were fearful and afraid. That's why I shut in. Now look at the promise of God in verse 2. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, here's the promise. See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Did y'all get that? So God tells Joshua, I've given Jericho into your hands. Now, let's learn some lessons as it stroke our faith. Jericho on this side of the Jordan is what? It is the first city. Everybody say the first city.
The first city.
Say it again. The first city.
The first city.
Say it again. The first city.
The first city.
Now, what did Rahab tell them? On the rooftop, I know that God has given you what? The land. What did God promise Israel? A land flowing with milk and honey. All right? Now, you got to go back to, I took the people of God this morning back to Deuteronomy 6. I want to show you what God has given because now he's giving them Jericho. But let me show you what God says. Deuteronomy 6, verse, what was it? Verse 10. Let's start at Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. You got to see this. Because, see, sometimes when God starts giving you stuff, sometimes our priorities get out of order. Which, if our priorities get out of order, it messes with our faith. Because then we're wrapped up in the stuff rather than in faith. Stuff can throw our priorities out of order, which messes with our faith. This is why, you know, we got to stay straight with that faith stuff and keep our priorities in order. All right. So look what God tells them in Deuteronomy 6:10. It says, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land. Now he's bringing them in right to Jericho. When God has brought you into the land, he says, which he swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee what? Great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Let me elaborate. God promises to give you great and goodly cities, and you didn't even build them. That makes you more than a conqueror. God's going to give you something that's already built. You're not going to have to sweat to build what God's given you. And what he's given you is two adjectives that describe it. Great and goodly. God ain't, tell your neighbor and say, God ain't giving you no junk. God has somebody else go before you and build a city, and then he's going to give it to you. Look at the next verse here. The next verse says, not only am I giving you great and goodly cities, inside those great and goodly cities, I'm going to give you houses full of what? Let me stop and elaborate, Tina, on this here. That means that you don't have to go down and shop for your furniture. Thomas, that means that you don't have to go down the rooms to go. You don't have to go to no furniture store because God's going to give you some furniture that you like. You just don't know you like it yet. See, you're saying that, you know, I like this and I like to have this kind of living room set and this kind of kitchen set, you know, and God just listens to you saying, mm-hmm, you know, and then when you get into that house, you know, it's already furnished. And then you just fall in love. You didn't even know you were going to like that kind of furniture, you know, until you saw that kind of furniture because you had never seen that kind of furniture before. All you saw was on display at Rooms to Go, you know. And but this is some new stuff. This is new kind of stuff, you know. It's got remote control kind of stuff, you know. And God give you the kind of stuff that, again, you ain't never seen this yet. And believe it or not, you didn't know you would like it until, you know, you got there and you saw it. You said, man, I never seen this, but I like it. I like it better than what I liked. So this is what God does. God gives you some stuff that you don't even know you like yet. He says, I'm going to give you some houses. And he said, these houses are going to be what? Full of all good things. Huh? And then he says, and he makes a point to you, which thou feelest not. Now, you know what that's saying, team? That's saying that you had nothing to do with this. You didn't go into the living room and lay out your plan. Say, I'm going to put the TV here. I'm going to put the sofa here. I'm going to put the love seat here. I'm going to put the coffee table here. You ain't had nothing to do with it. When you got there, it was already laid out for you. God says, I didn't need your human scheme. I knew what you would like before you liked what I put there. Did you get that?
Yes.
So the whole thing what God is saying and stroking your faith, I'm going to give you some stuff that you don't even know you like. So it's going to be filled with all good things. And he says, you had nothing to do with it. Then he says, then I'm going to give you wells digged. Digged is past tense, meaning that you don't have to take your shovel or your drill and go and dig the well. He says it's already dug for you. When you get there, the water's going to be springing up. You don't have to go pay no light bill to get it, no water bill to get it turned on. You don't have to go get no meter set in your yard. You know, it's already set. All right. Then he says, which you didn't dig. He said, you had nothing to do with where I put the well. He says, and I'm going to give you vineyards and olive trees, which you planted not. You had nothing to do with where I planted them. He says, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, watch this. He says, then what?
Beware.
Now, you ever walk by a fence that says beware of dog? Did y'all just open the fence and go in? And Elder Dunklin and I, you know, we go sometimes to check on jobs and, you know, we pull up in the yard and I say, well, let's get out and see what they got. He said, is there a dog here? he will not get out the truck until, you know, I said, well, come on, man, let's go ahead. And, you know, we went to work. I said, come on, let's go and check on it. I said, if there is one here, I'll jump back in the truck and let him get you first. You know, but beware means, you know, be cautious. It says, stop, think about it, look around, because there's something that you need to consider. So he says, beware, what? Lest thou forget the Lord. You mean the houses he give me, the furniture, you mean the wells and the vineyards and the olive oil, you mean that can throw my priorities off? Tell your neighbor, yes, it can.
Yes, it can.
You mean that stuff God give me can make me forget him?
Yes.
If it did, if it couldn't, he wouldn't have told you to beware.
Right. That's right.
He says the stuff that he give you can make you forget him.
Right.
The stuff that he give you and set you up with can make you lose sight of him and rearrange your priorities. Your priorities are out of whack.
Yeah.
Now, why is that so important? Because it messes with our faith. It messes with our faith. So he says, you should beware lest you forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Look at the next verse. It says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Look at verse 14. For it says, and ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Verse 15 says, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. So why God don't want your priorities to be out of whack? Because he's jealous. He's jealous. When you put something ahead of him, or put something in his place, he's jealous. He's talking about the nerve of God being jealous. You jealous? How dare you talk about my God and you jealous? And I'm jealous. Huh? He says, you know, he jealous, and when he get jealous, he said, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled. Now, how many of y'all are jealous and then you get angry?
That's right.
All of us ought to raise our hands and stop. You know, when we jealous, then we get angry. And God's the same way. God said he jealous and then he get angry. And he says, his anger kindled against thee and he destroyed thee from off the face of the earth. Now, I just wanted to point that out, and I'll jump back over to Joshua 6. Now, go to verse, we saw where God was going to give us the land. Now, I gotta bring this to some kind of close here. So, I might make two sessions out of this here. But here are some things I want to leave with you in Joshua 6. All right. Second thing, we realize God has given them the land. Now, the Bible says this here. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell straight down and Israel went in and took the city. Now, the scripture says, Frieda, by faith, the walls fell straight down. But look, Lolita, I know that wasn't nothing but the divine power of God.
That's right.
Huh? What can make those walls fall straight down? Nothing but the power of God.
That's right.
But let me show you how faith works. There's no need to display the divine power of God. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread. It's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.
Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion, that is the church, and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls.
There's no faith. Well, what did they do by faith that caused the divine power of God to cause the walls to fall straight down? Well, everybody say, God gave them Jericho.
God gave them Jericho.
But did you see how God gave them Jericho? You're not going to get Jericho by calling a committee meeting and saying, now, how do you think we ought to take Jericho? Because one group might say, well, I think we ought to tunnel under the wall and then come up on them, a surprise attack. Somebody else say, we ought to build a battering ram and we ought to batter the gates down. Somebody else say, no, we need ladders that we can scale the wall and we can get over it and take the city. God says, listen to me carefully. He don't need your human schemes. He's got it all planned out for you. You got it?
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with
all
and lean not to your
all
in all your ways
and
he will.
So
God don't need your understanding. He don't need your human planning. He don't need your human schemes. He don't need your carnal ideas. He's got it all worked out for you. We got it?
Yeah.
So now we're going to see what brings on the power of God. All he wants you to do is follow direction. I hear some of y'all saying, but that's too simple. I got to have a hand in this. No, you don't. All he wants you to do is do what? Follow direction. Now, here is the direction. Here's what God says to them. He says, Joshua, I've given you Jericho, but here's how you're going to take Jericho. I want you to get all the mighty men of war, and I want them to compass the city, you know, and all the people compass the city one time for 6 days. Now, in doing that, I want you to send the Ark of the Covenant before them. But before the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to put, listen to me. As a matter of fact, let me let you read it. Get verse, what is it? Verse 4. All right. He says, now, and I want you to take 7 priests shall bear before the Ark 7 trumpets. Now, how many priests?
7.
Not 6. How many?
7.
Not 8. How many?
7.
I need 7 priests, and I want them to have 7 trumpets of what?
Ram.
Not bull's horn.
Ram.
Not goat's horn.
Ram.
Not deer antlers.
Ram.
Don't start talking about, well, this will do.
Right. Yeah.
See, when God gives direction, he gives specific direction because there's something that's close to his heart that he wants you to follow them specifically. See, many times we don't get what we want from the Lord is because we erred from the direction. We didn't do it like he said do it. So it's not working like it's supposed to work. And then we start saying, well, oh, what's the use of praying? Prayer don't work. It does work if we do it like he said do it. So we found out. Now watch this here. Here's faith. Faith, this, I call this the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. It takes faith to obey it just like he said. Okay? So he says, you know, you get seven priests, seven trumpets, and you say, and then he said, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Did we get that? All right. So what are we going to do 6 days? Walk around it. How many times?
Once.
And may I say something else? Shut up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh God, help us. Because see, one thing we don't like to do, we like to walk and talk. All right. Stretch, go down to verse 10 of that chapter. So y'all want to say, Pastor just told us to shut up. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. There's a time to be silent, and there's a time to talk. Now, if we're going to take the city, this time, shut up. Until I tell you to say something.
Amen.
Who are you telling to shut up? I am 3 times 7. Do you know Joshua wants us to walk around this city, this whole wall, and we can't say nothing? The nerve of Joshua. Who do you think he is? Telling us to do something. See, that's what some of y'all be saying. Some of y'all said, I'm not going to even walk. If I can't talk, I'm not going to walk. Because Joshua know, y'all know I am a talker and I just got to talk. You know, I got to say something. You see, but here is it with this siege. Here is it, the command of God. The command of God says, don't say anything. Don't shout. Don't utter a word with your voice until I tell you. See, if we're going to take the city, if we're going to get out of Jericho, you got to do it just like he said. Now, there's a reason that I don't want you to talk. Because, see, that's what got your mom and daddy in trouble. I ain't talking about your mom and daddy. I'm talking about theirs. That's why they died in the wilderness, because they murmured and complained. They murmured and complained. And God had to put a discipline. He had to put a restraint on you because you came out of them. And he says, now, in taking this first city, which is the first step to conquering all the promises of mine, I want you to shh. And then when I tell you to shout, I want you to shout. So what are you actually doing? You're giving God control over the tongue. You're giving God control over the tongue. And according to James said, who can control that? It's a fire that have set the world on. You know, it's something that has set the world on fire. The tongue is a little thing, but it'll set things on fire. But what you was doing, you know, in this here, you're giving God control over that little thing that it can get out of control. And I know people say sweet water and bitter water can't come out the same fountain. But Lord, I ain't got to tell you about saints. Saints talk so sweet and you rub them the wrong way, they start cussing.
Yeah.
And you start looking at the scripture and say, I thought the Bible says that sweet water and bitter water can't come out the same fountain. And you start looking at them and looking at the scripture and say, something wrong here. That's because they ain't gave God control of that tongue. So we learn. Here it is as I close. God wanted, number one, in taking Jericho, he wanted control of your tongue, your mouth. He wanted you to do it like he say do it. There's a certain order. I want the priest to go first, then I want the ark to go, then I want the men of war, then I want the people. God does things what? Decently and in order. Well, I just got to be in the front of the line. No. What? We do it God's way. If we want the results, we do it his way. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. He said, I thought about Carol. I saw Carol walking this morning. And, I had just come from here studying and praying. God told him the time to do it. It's there. Look in verse. I told you I'm closing, and I am. Look in verse 12 of chapter 6. It says, "And Joshua, here come 6 verse 12. And Joshua rose when? Well, why can't we go walking in the evening? I'm just a late sleeper. No. If you're going to get the results, this is called the obedience of what? Faith. So when you walk, I want you to walk early in the morning. That's how we're going to take this city. See, why? God, why? Because I want the first part of your day. I want the first part of your day. This city is going to be the first city. I want the first part of your day, and then I want the thing that can get out of control. The thing on your body that can get out of control the most is that mouth, that tongue. So God's teaching us something with the obedient of faith that will help us take our Jericho. So when we talk about the siege, it's by faith that we're going to take our Jericho. And then he tells you something else. You know, it's later on in the passage that he gonna give you Jericho, but it ain't yours. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.